Friday, Torah Mishnah, Manchester, Chof Ches, Sivan, Tovshin, Ein Tes, Rav Shalom Shpringer.
Good morning to you all. Lichvoy, the upcoming Rosh Chodesh, I'd like to say something which ties together with Shavuos, but also starts with a quote, what we say in Hallel. Ani avdecho ben amosecha, pitachto lemaiseiroi. I'm the servant ben amosecha, who is that? Chazal say, that is Rus, his grandmother, Rus. Ani avdecho ben amosecha, pitachto lemaiseiroi, breaks the chains. Now, I heard this thought from Rav Mordechai Miller, and I'd like to share it with you. I think it's a very tifa thought, an insightful thought. And in Megillas Rus, read the following. Vatoymer Rus el Nomi, al tifke bi leozvech loshiv macharoyech. Rus is pleading with Nomi, don't force her to go away. And this is a very famous pasuk, everybody knows it. Kiela sher teilchi eilech, Pashetolini Olin, Amech Ami, Velakai Chalakoi. There's another pasuk with another list. Thank you very much. And Rashi tells us that this pasuk, Mikan Omru Rabbeinu, Geshibolis Gaye Moidin Loi Mitzas Oinshim. So we inform the Ger that life as a Jew is pretty hard, and that she shouldn't be so quick to take it all on. Shimbolachsa boy yachsoi. So we encourage them in a way to be chayza. Shemitoich devoreh shel Rus atalomad masha omeloi nomi, because from the way Rus speaks, that bashetelchi eilech, etc., bashetolini olin, from that we can deduce what Nomi must have said to her. And Rashi works it out. Asalonu lotzeis chutz l'tchum b'shabbos. Nomi says to Rus, as part of the strictures of Yiddishkeit, that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. To which she says, Omra lo, ba'ashetel chielech, wherever you go, I'll go, no problem. Osolon l'isyachel nekevim zocho she'en isho. You're not allowed to stay in a place with a man that isn't your husband. Omra lo, ba'ashetolini olin, where are you going to stay overnight? I'll stay overnight. Amenu Muvdolin Misha Amim Beshesh Meis Vesholosh Esrei Mitzvahs. Do you realize we've got 613 mitzvahs? It's a tough call, as we'd say in modern language. She says, Amech Ami, and so on. So Ramila asked the following question, that it seems that the answers that she's giving are not the right answers. If I say to you, you may not leave the room for the next 40 minutes, and you agree with that, you say, all right, I won't leave. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. Okay, I won't. You're not allowed to stay in a hotel or whatever with a man, etc. Okay, I won't. That should have been the answers of Rus to what Nomi said to her. Instead, she doesn't say that. She always says something in a very positive way. Do you realize you can't go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos? Where you go, I'll go. You can't stay in a place with a man that's not your husband. Wherever you live, wherever you stay overnight, I'll stay overnight. 630 mitzvahs, Amech Ami. She never says, no, I won't. She always puts it in the positive. You know, when we're very small, when we're children, we think, for example, of Shabbos as being a day just full of restrictions. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. And that's what it seems like when we're youngsters. Hopefully when we get older, we have a little bit more of a mature approach to Shabbos. So what she's saying is that you tell me that I can't go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. I see the Kedushas Shabbos. Whatever you do, I'll do. You tell me that I can't stay in a place where a man is there and it's not my husband. There too, I will stay where you stay. I see Kedushas Yisrael. So in every twist and turn, she sees the positive angle. Mele, we understand at the Pasuk in Hallel. Ani avdecho ben amosecha, says David HaMelech, I am the true grandchild of Rus. Pitachta lemaseiro. She's the one that breaks chains. She doesn't see Yiddishkeit as a whole host of restrictions, she sees the positive angle. And that's, of course, what we should all see. And that's a Shavuos story, we line on Shavuos, and it leads in to what I want to talk about, which is an aspect of Shavuos, and in it, mostly about the Hachana of Shavuos. And we start with an essay of Rav Chaim Shmulevitch, the great Rosh Yeshiva Rav Chaim Shmulevitch, and he has a sefer, produced a sefer, I'm not sure, during his life or after his lifetime, called Sichas Musa, which spans the droshes that he gave over 3 years, Tovshin numbered Aleph, numbered Beis, and numbered Gimel. And he did so because he stood in for the Darshan of Yerushalayim that was Niftar. They asked him to stand in. Now, this is a person who's a Lamdan. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't say Drush, but Lamaisi, he's a Lamdan, he's a big Rosh Hashiva. And they asked him to stand in, and he produced these droshes, this Drush, these Shiurim in Sichas Musa, which became absolute classics. I'd like to offer one of them for starters. And he tells us that the Pasuk says, Vayisu Mirafidim Vayachan Bin Bidbo Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Aho. We got this word Rafidim, and that comes up again in the Torah, where it says a little later, Vayisu Mirafidim Vayova Amolek. So that's really earlier. Earlier it says, Vayisu Mirafidim Vayova Amolek, and the Torah connects this place, Rafidim, with the attack of Amolek. And Chazal tell us why. Panning on the word Rafidim, which contains the word Rofui, Sherofu Yedehem Minatoira, because they loosened their hands from the Torah. And when we loosen our hands from the Torah, when we disconnect from the Torah, who comes? Amalek comes, pays us a visit. Later on, Vayisim Rafidu Yachnim Bemidbo Vayichan Shom Yisroel Neged Ahor, that was different because they reconnected. So here, one place they distanced themselves from the Torah, and of course, in the Psukim leading up to Matan Torah, we have many, many instances where the singular is written when the plural, we should really have the plural. And so what he wants to tell us, Chaim Shmulevitch wants to tell us, is that one of the conditions, one of the three conditions that he identifies for Kabbalah Satira is Hisatzmus. We've got to energize ourselves towards the Torah, we've got to be enthusiastic to the Torah, and if we're indifferent, if we approach it in a casual way, then we haven't understood what Kabbalah Satorah is, because it's not just an optional extra to be enthusiastic, it's something that is deeply bound up in a Kabbalah Satorah. And he quotes the Pasuk in Chukas, Zoi Satorah Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ehel. So it's the Torah, Zot Rashi, brings the Rashi, Torah can only, we can only be kind of Torah, somebody who puts all his efforts up to Mesiris, up to and possibly including Mesiris Nefesh, in such a way that we are enthusiastic about Torah. So that's condition one that he identifies. We know that Yaakov didn't sleep for 14 years when he was in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver. And also the Gemara brings Chazal Takin, this week's Sedra, yesterday's Sedra, where the Sedra says, where the Pasuk says, Uponisi Aleichem, that the Rabbi Shom says, I will turn to you. This is in the Brachas part, Ponisi Aleichem, and the Gemara brings a moshel about a king who has a garden, and he wants this garden cultivated, and he has a whole troop, a whole group of gardeners, and all of work on this garden, and one in particular chooses a patch of the garden, and he works very, very hard and produces very, very good crops, a wonderful part of the garden which is sort of noticeably different from all the other parts. And when the king comes and inspects his garden and he sees the work done by all the workers, one by one he pays them off and says, thank you very much. But he says to this special gardener, the one who put in all the effort, he says, Ponisi Aleichem, so to speak, I want to turn to you, I want to speak to you later. And for him, he says, because of all the effort that you put into this garden, in cultivating it, I really want to reward you, and therefore he gives him something extra. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us in exactly the same when the Torah says, Uponisi Aleichem, I will turn to you. It means when we're doing the right thing, we're accepting the Torah. I'm not saying we are being Moshe Nefesh for Torah, perhaps some people are, and we know of so many stories of our Gedolim who were Mamash Moshe Nefesh for their Torah. I mean, for example, one little story of the Chazon Ish that I heard was that he used to have a pillow which he used to put his head, when he got very tired he would put his head on the pillow, and that's how he slept, didn't always go to bed. And one day his bocha, who helped him, came in and saw that the pillow was at the end of the table and his head was on the table. And he asked the Chazon Ish, who sort of head came up when the bocha came in, says, you know, what's wrong? Why didn't you take the pillow? And he said, last night I was so tired, I so lacked any strength, I could not actually pull the pillow under my head. Well, that's the sort of story we hear again and again about our Gedolim, who give the last tiniest ounce of koiches in order to carry on with learning Torah. So that's the first of his conditions. It's got to be enthusiastic. If we embrace the Torah enthusiastically, that we have half a chance of being koine Torah. Second condition of Chaim Shmulevitch identifies is midas. We can't be koine Torah unless we refine midas. In particular, he identifies two. One is kas. If we get angry all the time, then that means, if I may say it in my own words, you know, Chazal Takasei, that kol ha-koyes kilo oived avod zorah. Well, why is that? You know, it seems to be a very harsh judgment. Someone gets angry, kilo oived avod zorah. And the answer I once heard, which I think has a lot of meaning, is that when we get angry, what we're saying actually is, why isn't the world working the way I want it to work? That's actually what we're saying when we get angry. It should work the way I want it to work. Well, it works the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to work. So all of a sudden we've taken our focus away from the Ribbono Shel Olam as being the fearer of the world, the one who makes the world work. All of a sudden I want it to be my way. In other words, I've taken my eye off the ball and no longer concentrated on the Ribbono Shel Olam as the one who's directing the world. It's me. It should be worked the way I want it. And that's why, you know, you're not in the right sort of patch. You haven't got your eyes in the right direction. So if that is the case, of course, of Chaim Shmulevitch is quite right. We can't possibly be kind of Torah if we are people who get angry about things. Yeah, must keep calm. The other one is Gaiva, and that's fairly obvious. The person is a Baal Gaiva, he can't possibly be a Kohen Torah. And Tucker, the Gemara says in the Dorim, Nune kim she'oiso adam as atzmai kimidbor shumufka lakoil. And that was when the Pasuk says, Vayachanu bamidbor, and then mimidbar matona. So there's a sequence there of traveling where Yachanu Bamidbar, and then they went from Midbar to Matana. One of the Amoraim says, you know, I've looked through the whole of the Torah, and I cannot find a place called Matana. There's no such place. So Taka the Gemara says, what it means is that anyone who makes himself, yeah, Kusha'oise Oda Masatzmaik a Midbar, Shu Mufkal HaKoel, a Midbar is Mufkal HaKoel, Torah Nitna Loi B'Matana. The Torah is given to us as a gift. It's a gift. A person makes himself low, a person makes himself a makabel, then all of a sudden he becomes Roy Makabel Torah. And of course, our great Torah givers, Moshe Rabbeinu, starting off with, and then Hillel HaZaken, the people renowned for their anivus. Torah can only be given through a vehicle of anivus. Finally, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitch, the third condition for Kabbalah Torah, I'm sure there are many more, you know, next week in Pirkei Avos we're going to get 48, okay, but he identifies these three, that the Pasuk says, Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahor, says it in the singular, where it should really say it in the plural, and Chazal tell us, Kish Echod Belev Echod, we received the Torah in the conditions of complete Achdus, that we probably never achieved throughout our history as Klal Yisrael. At Har Sinai, we became one beating heart. And that's how we received the Torah. And of course, that's how it's got to be. So the process is these three characteristics that we should develop. And when we develop those, then we are prepared to be Mekabel Torah. Part two of what I want to say is connected with this. And really, it's concentrating on Zrizus in general, and our approach to the Torah, to mitzvahs, and Big Azoris is very special. Start off. Ushmartem esamatzes. Shmartem esamatzes, you should guard the matzah. Well, how do you guard a matzah? Rashi tells us, Shelo yovoi lidei chimutz, that we are talking about a dough, maybe on Erev Pesach, after the Zman Chometz, or on Pesach itself. In the old days, they used to bake matzahs on Pesach. So the Torah is telling us, Shemartim es ha-matzahs, that Rashi tells us the pshat is that we have a dough and we're working on that dough. Don't allow it to become chometz. So what should you do? Tofach, if it starts blowing up, it starts becoming chometz. Til toish betzoinon, pat it with cold water, polish it with cold water, and therefore keep it cool. You know, also you can work it. And then Rashi brings something very strange, very nice, very interesting, But very strange for Rashi to bring it here. Rav Yashia Omer, Rav Yashia says, Al tikoires ha-matzois. Don't read it matzois. It's spelt taka mem tzadi vov tov matzois. Ella, read it as if it said mitzvois. Everyone knows this, Rashi. Kederach she'en machmitzin es ha-matzois. In the same way as we don't allow a matzah to become chometz, kach ein machmitzin es ha-mitzvois. So we shouldn't be machmitz a mitzvah. What does that mean in the case of a mitzvah? That if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, ella im bo liyodcha, if a mitzvah comes and you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do it immediately. Not quickly, immediately. So Rashi brings this chazal, which is very nice. The shaila is, and the Maral asks this question, Rashi often says, you know, throughout his pirush, loy bossi elo lefarish. My job is to be mefarish the posuk, that's all. You know, the midrashim, we can leave it another time. But Rashi felt the need here to bring that mama chazal of Yashia. Obviously, he felt the need. Maral explains, won't go through the whole Maral, just tell you the tumsis of what he says. What he says is that the Torah, if it's talking about chometz, should actually have said, Ushmartem min ha-chometz. That's really what Rashi teaches this possum. So why does it say matzos? And a lidresh. In order to derive something else, and by the way it writes it in Mole, when it could have written matzos mem tzadi tof with a chaylum, that's the normal way of writing matzos, here it writes it with a vav, so therefore Rashi comes in and says, Al tikra matzos ela mitzvos, perfectly justified. Very nice. But nevertheless, the Maral has a problem. You know, why is Rashi telling us this when in fact there is a difference between allowing a dough to become chometz, which is an issa, yeah, especially if you're doing it on Pesach, it's an issa, and here it's a sort of inyan of zrizus, if you like. If you've got a mitzvah to do, you know, you should do it right away, you shouldn't delay. Very nice, but said different things. Here's an issa, and there is an inyan of zrizus. The Maral explains something amazing. And he says this, the whole inyan of Pesach is, we have this idea that the Rebbeinu Shloim took out Klal Yisrael and whisked them out very, very fast. And we know that that is an important part. Takalah HaGodah says they didn't have time to make matzahs, and therefore they didn't have time to make bread, and therefore they made matzahs. So we know chipozoin, which is the word, is very important in the whole story of Pesach. Maral explains, what is the inin of chipozoin in relation to the matzah, in relation to Pesach? It is because whenever the Rebbeinu Shloim is involved in something, time is not here. There's no time. Rabbi Shem lives in a world above time and above space, but there is no time and space in the Rabbi Shalom's world. So therefore, when the Rabbi Shalom brought out Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, took them out of Mitzrayim, time does not feature. And therefore, you have no time to make a matzah, because Rabbi Shalom is in charge here, and therefore there is no time. And therefore, in the same way as there is no time involved in making a matzah for Pesach, in other words, we're human beings, we need some time, but we should do it as quickly as we can. Therefore, in the case of mitzvahs, says the Maral, the tzushtel of Rashi between matzahs and mitzvahs is a very good one. Because what he's saying is that it's not just an inyan of zrizus, not just that. That if you do a mitzvah comes and you have an opportunity to do it, and you write it in your diary for next week, okay, then it's delaying the mitzvah. At the end of the day next week when you do the mitzvah, you've still done the mitzvah, but it's a new mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. It's not the same mitzvah as you had when you had the opportunity. Why, says the Maral? Because that mitzvah also comes from that world. The mitzvah also comes from the world of the Rabbeinu Shalom, from the Torah, where time does not feature. So if you bring time into a mitzvah when you have an opportunity to do it now, and you do it instead next week in your own good graces, you've added a gashmius element into the mitzvah. Instead of being kula ruchni from where it came, you've now added time, which is only something that we need to deal with, not when it's the Rabbeinu Shloim. Therefore, he says that tzushta is very good. So we are introduced to the idea of this zrizus playing a critical part in the performance of Yiddishkeit. Most of what I'm saying I got from a shir from Rav Pinchas Roberts, Soler Gesunden Stark Sein, many years ago, and I'm giving it over as best I can. He certainly gave it much, much better than I can. So there we have our first example. The Torah says, or the Shulchan Aruch says, Rotz Katzvi. This word Rotz, actually, its root is Rotzoin. Rotz and Rotz, we run to something for which we have a Rotzen. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that we should do things with zrizus. Without zrizus, the mitzvah becomes mechanical, and the whole quality's gone away, as we explained in the case of the matzah. It's a different mitzvah. Still doing it, but it's a different mitzvah. And a mitzvah, and the rots of a mitzvah, shows the cheshek, shows the hishtoikakus, and the rots katzi is symbolic of the person's attitude towards the mitzvahs. And in Eiruvin, daf kufam at base, the Gemara says as follows, Ilmolei nitno Torah, hoyinu lemeidim tsnius michatul. Had the Torah not told us about tsnius in various places, we would have had to learn it from the cat. Gezel min amolo, that you're not allowed to steal from an amolo. When we see an ant very, very carefully avoiding anything another ant has touched, we would have learned gezel min amolo. Arayis mi yoina. The yoina is a very faithful bird, never has any other mate, and therefore we would have learned arayis mi yoina. So, Rav Hutna once asked, he asked the following shaila, we got this namola. You see a namola, you see an ant. It's busy, busy, busy. It's very, very industrious. Why can't we learn, why didn't the Gemara say we learned zrizus from the namola? In the same way as we learned the fact that we're not allowed to gun if we're not allowed to steal from the namola because we see its behavior. So you see a namola working very, very hard. Why couldn't we learn zrizus from the namola? And he answers the following. Yes, the namola works very industriously, but you do not know that he has zrizus. You don't know that he has the middah of zrizus and cheshek. That's just his nature, to work quickly. We couldn't learn zrizus from that. We need another source to learn zrizus. So Taket says, lechen al namola otzel, that a lazy person, if he wants a lesson in not being lazy, he should go to the namola. You see some, you know, industrious work. But zrizus is another Indian. Zrizus is something different. So that's Rav Hutna says that although the ant looks as though it's a zoris, it may not necessarily be a zoris, and therefore we can't necessarily learn our lesson from there. Another story in the Torah is the behavior of Lot. Lot was Nitzel from Sodom. We say Beschus Avraham, but actually Chazal tell us that the source of Lot was when Avraham was on his travels with Lot, and the various places where he said to Sarah that she should say Achosihi, or he said Achosihi, Lot kept his mouth shut. Lot could have enriched himself in all sorts of ways by reporting that it's not his sister, it's his wife, and could have enriched himself very much, and he kept his mouth shut, and that was the schus that Lot had, that he was saved from Sodom, terrible death. Fredal of the Kasha, I heard it first in this town, Manchester Rosh Hashiva, I don't know how many years ago, many, many years ago, probably half a century ago, I heard it from Manchester Rosh Hashiva. There's a kasha here, a really deep kasha. We all know Sodom was a very evil place, and one of the capital offences is to give, to do any hachnosas orachim. You're not allowed to give a stranger any food at all. And they used to play these horrible tricks. They used to give a stranger money, lots of money, and they used to walk around, but I never gave them any food. And when they died, they took the money back. I mean, all sorts of ridiculously evil things that Sodom practiced. You're not allowed to do hachnosas orachim on pain of death. Well, we see Lot be makabel the malachim. Lot received the malachim, and therefore that should have been his chus to be saved. Why do Chazal say that he was saved b'schus that he kept his mouth shut? He didn't speak when he could have and could have enriched himself for money when here he's risking his life by being mekabel the malachim and receiving them into Sodom. And they all answer the same. I've heard this kasha being asked and answered many times over the years, and maybe you have too. And they answer the following. Sometimes difficult to understand what they're saying, but we have got to appreciate along the lines that we're speaking. Lot was brought up in the house of Avraham. And in the house of Avraham, Hachnosas Orachim wasn't second nature, it was first nature. Yeah, it was what you did. See a potential Orach on the horizon, and you got going and you got running. Lot was brought up in this household. It was, as we say in Yiddish, in the beine, in the blit. It was in his blood, in his bones. That's what you do. So Lot didn't have an option. He sees his Orachim coming into town. You know, he's got no option in a sense but to be machnis them. But on the other hand, because it was so ingrained into his personality by living in the house of Avraham, that wasn't his mitzvah. That was still Avraham's mitzvah, not his mitzvah. He was taught to do that, and so he did it. Very nice, but that's not his mitzvah at all. He didn't do it with any hishtoikikus. He didn't do it with any enthusiasm. And therefore, that's not considered as his chus. A mitzvah done without enthusiasm, he doesn't get a big tick up. He doesn't get the cigar for that. He gets it for that other chus that he had. Well, what's the proof? How do you know that Lot didn't have the enthusiasm? You know, when we look at the parasha about the way Avraham and Sarah were machnis oirech, we get expressions recurring. Rots Avraham, vayemaher, mahari, etc. We have a lot of running about. We have the enthusiasm coming through very loud and clear of Avraham Avinu. In the case of Lot, when he's machnis oirech to these malachim, we have no such expressions in the Torah of Rots Lot or Vayimai Lot, nothing at all. Very, very different from the description that we are given with Avraham Avinu of how enthusiastic he is. And we know the Messias Nefesh that he performed at that in when the three Malachim came in Parshas Vayera. We don't see anything like that with Lot. So in other words, the vault that our Chachomim tell us, which is that he did it without enthusiasm, maybe did it even reluctantly, means that it wasn't a schus for him, and therefore he doesn't get that particular accolade. Sorry? I can't hear. What was? Yes, that's true. That's true, that's true. Yes. Kasha? Very good. Parshas Vayakel of the Parsha in Klal Yisrael gave the matonis to the Mishkan, and the Nesiim offered, but they offered in a very strange way. They said that whatever is missing from the Mishkan, we will make up the deficit. Now, I bet that every Rosh Hashiva would just love to have an offer like that. Okay, whatever the deficit is, we'll make it up. Anyway, Klal Yisrael had that offer that whatever's missing from the Mishkan, we'll make it up. And that was wrong. That was wrong. That showed a certain lack of enthusiasm. And Tucker, later on, when they gave the Avnei Shoyam, they didn't really give the Avnei Shoyam. The Pasuk is written without a Yud, and they're missing a Yud to show that actually the clouds brought the Avnei Shoyam, and therefore it wasn't their skus at all. They lost it because they didn't step forward. They waited at the end, we'll see about the deficit. A very nice present it might have been, but as you know, there was nothing to give at the end. And so once again, we get the idea that without enthusiasm, your present is not accepted. The clouds brought it. The Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Gimel, there's a Tosfos there that discusses Asei Doichalois Asei. And when Tosfos discusses Asei Doichalois, it's in the middle of a long, fairly long Tosfos, Asei Doichalois Asei, that we all know that cloud. But what about when Efshelakayim Shneim? You can't be Makayim both the Asei and the Lois Asei, then you've got to do that. Then we don't say Asei Doichalois Asei. Tosfos asks the following question. Supposing I can't do the assay now, because it would be assay doichalois assay, but I can do the assay later on. If I wait and do the assay later, then I can be efshelakayim shneim, then I can do the lois assay, mekayim the lois assay, and also do the assay later. So ptosis, that is not called efshelakayim shneim. And with our explanation, and this is really Robert Roberts speaking, I think, giving pshat into that ptosis, is that the pshat is that if I do the mitzvah later, that's not the same mitzvah. Why isn't it Efshelakayim Shneim? Because I'm not being Mekayim Shneim, I'm doing something different. A mitzvah that is delayed is an under vort, is an under mitzvah. It's something quite different, it lacks the quality of doing it now. So once again, we have this idea that delay is a symbol of lack of enthusiasm. We should do it when we can, and do it Efshelakayim Shneim. Okay, so I don't know whether any Hasidim in the room. Well, let me tell you something from the Baba Varov, Baba Rebbe, the Bshloima. On two occasions, someone heard the stipler make a remark. Following remark, Idav Wissen sein, he says, you should know that the Mafteach Ledrosha of Drush, the Mafteach of Drush is held by the Baba Varov. That's what he said. Stipler said this on two occasions. It's very choshev yid, I don't know his name. It says, Bezman hazeh, the key, the shlistel to drush, is with the Bovarov. And Bovarov explained the following medrash in a very nice way. The medrash sukta zeh, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Ola Lamoroim, Boise Shaw, Bikshu, Malachi Ashores, Lifgoya Ba Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is up there, he's at the throne, and the Malachi Ashores wanted to injure Moshe. Osuloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klas Turin Shel Ponov Shel Moshe, Doimel Avraham. So the Rabbeinu Shem made Moshe look like Avraham, changed the image of his face. Aren't you ashamed of this man? Isn't this man, Avraham, the person he went down and you ate in his house? You should be ashamed. You're trying to injure Moshe. He now looks like Avraham. The Torah is being given b'schus Avraham. So I'm showing you the image of Avraham. You are trying to prevent the Torah being given. Shnema lokachas matonas ba'odom vein odom ha'omokan ela Avraham. So we have a medrash here, which seems to be a little bit incomprehensible. What's one got to do with the other? What's giving the Torah got to do with the fact that Malachim ate dinner or supper at Avraham's house? Well, what the Malachim was saying was, Rabbeinu Shlomo, you want to give the Torah to these people? They're tzelim. They weren't doing it enthusiastically. Here, Malachim, you know, we are Meshose Hashem. We are Malachim that are ready to do anything at the drop of a hat. Eish loyheit, we are described. People who instantly carry out the command. This is where the Torah should be, not down there on earth. Well, they'll do it, and they won't do it, and they may not do it at all, you know. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Shloilom brings an image of Avraham Avinu, and we already quoted before. And we're talking about somebody and all of humanity, Yisoidai Mi'ofa, as we say on Yom Kippur. Yeah, Yisoidai Mi'ofa, that is true. And the Malachim will say, Yisoidai Mi'ofa, how can you give the Torah to these people? But the answer is that when we bring Avraham Avinu into the picture, especially 3 days after the Bris Milah, we're talking about a person who is an old, ill man in his condition, and what do we see? He's running here, he's running there, he's getting the meal prepared. You don't see any sign of atzlus, certainly not. You don't see any lack of enthusiasm. You see full enthusiasm. And klal yisrael, the einiklach of Avraham Avinu, they have it too. And therefore, despite the fact that the Malachim complained, Mi gilarozer, shemalacha ashores mishtamshim boy, which was emphasizing their enthusiasm, their instantaneity, that they do things immediately, that the fact is that Klal Yisrael also have that Bren, Klal Yisrael also have that Ishtoikikus, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, stroke the Rabbeinu Shloilam, stroke Avraham Avinu, won the day, and of course the Torah was given. So, Zrizus, as we see, is an extremely important factor in what we're talking about. I'll end off with a story. Just to prove that we are Mamleches Koyanim Agoy Kodosh, we may not be Koyanim actually, but we're still Mamleches Koyanim, and therefore we still have the Zrizus. In Shalmi Shabbos Daf Hei tells us of a very interesting Shitta of Ben Azai. He holds Mahalach Koyim Adomi. Somebody walks. While he's on one leg, he stopped. So he holds Mahalach Koyim Adomi. And therefore, he's stopping and going as he walks. So the Gemara asks, well, in which case, we can never have Mave Daladamas Bishusarabim, because he's always stopping, and therefore you never get. So the answer the Gemara gives is Kofatz. When he jumps Daladamas, then you get a case of somebody being Mave Daladamas Bishusarabim. One day, Rabbi Kiva Eger was sitting with his einikel, Reb Leibele. Now, as you know, Rabbi Kiva Eger's grandson, Reb Leibele, was a chosid. So this Litvak and this chosid are sitting together. And Reb Kiva Eger asks the following kasha, based on our Gemara. According to Ben Azai, Chazal made a gezeira that we know about, that you don't line begin on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Why? Shemo Yav Adal Adamas, perhaps a student will be Yav Adal Adamas, b'shus Rabim. And we're very worried about that, so Chazal made a gezeira. But according to Ben Azai, you know, the only terrorist the Gemara had was if he's kofatz, if he jumps. That's very loy shkiach. Milted loy shkiach alagosir v'arabon. And why should the Kunde Ben Azai, Chazal, have made this gezeira in the first place? So Bleibel answers, Shver, not Shver, Zayda, he says, you don't understand a Yid. Whether he said that, I'm not sure. That's what maybe he was quoted. But he spoke to his grandfather like that. Shteshnish Ayid. Taka, when Ayid, Hotz Rizus, the natural thing for him to do is to jump. Therefore, for a chosid at least, it's not such a milsa to loishchicha. It could well happen that he jumps on a regular basis, and therefore Chazal were quite right. Koinim Zerizim Haim, we come from an Am Kodosh, we are Zerizim as well, and therefore we approach Shavuos the right way, then we too will be Zoicha to be Koin of the Torah and celebrate another Shavuos with all of Klal Yisrael and maybe be Zoicha to Agilish Shechina once again and Bimheir.
When you mentioned the Shlomo,
he said
that all through
Israel. Yes, he said. No, he said Pshat.